This podcast replay is brought to you by EJDConstruction.com. Call Eric at EJD Construction at 305-433-4843. They do it all, residential or commercial. EJDConstruction.com is the custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843. We promised you, as always, Omar Kelly is going to join us here at the bottom of the hour so we can talk a little football with our EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report.
The Big O Radio Show is home for the hardcore Dolphins fan. That's why we give you Omar Kelly twice a week. Buckle up. It's time for the EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report exclusively on the Big O Radio Show.
All righty, welcome back. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend that is Omar Kelly and the EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report. Of course, you can follow my man Omar on Twitter at Omar Kelly. Oh, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good. I'm trying to come out of my state of depression for the fact that training camp is starting. People don't realize that that's really the beginning of the end of my life. It's just nothing but football till January.
So let me ask you something. You want your ass to be an accountant or a lawyer? Do you really want to be that?
I'm not,
do you want to be a cop? Do you want to lay tar on the street? Do you want to build roofs in the middle of the sun? I can come up with 5 billion jobs that you would never want to touch. You are blessed, sir.
And understand you're making a very valid, strong point. I will say this.
My wife is a teacher for almost 30 years. She has zero brain cells left. The woman is fried. Okay. 200 kids a year. That woman is fried, bro.
I hear you. We are blessed
to do this, bro.
What I love and understand, training camp is my favorite part of this job because it is an opportunity to watch 2 hours of unfiltered practice, get to make your own evaluations, not all this guesswork or coaches telling you the BS, you get to see it. So I'm thankful for that, and I love it, and I love what I do. However, it gets completely draining when I tell you I can't plan anything for my life until the first week of January.
Hey, you just went through a pandemic where you had all the time in the world to sit on your ass at home for over a year. Okay, so you got plenty of time off, dog. All right, get to work. I mean, think about it. Look, put yourself in my position. Look at the hell I've gone through to kind of stay doing what I love to do. So that tells you all you need to know, that I don't want to have a real job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like having this job for over 30 years now, man. So I got to keep it alive.
Absolutely. And I'm not complaining. There's just a state of depression when you know I was talking to a guy from one of my favorite clubs, and he was just like, yeah, I'm expecting an influx of guys this week just because it's the last week. It's the last week of freedom. So guys are going to go wild, especially with Rolling Loud here in town. And I was just like, yeah, man.
Thank God the stage broke down yesterday and they could fix it for today, bro. Holy crap. Did you see that?
No, yeah. I didn't. I haven't seen the pictures. I did see the story.
So hopefully, you know, good thing. It looks like nobody was around. Nobody got hurt. So it's cool. And they weren't performing, which is the best thing. Thank the Lord. So now they can probably go through everything, recheck everything to make sure everything is solid, dude.
Absolutely. It's a live nation event, so they're definitely going to be on top of it.
You know, this is the biggest rap festival in the world. I don't know if you know that. You know that?
Yeah. I've been, and it's a little young for me. It's a little fast for me.
Sometimes a little wild.
I never saw any real wild stuff. I've been to concerts where I've seen wild stuff. I didn't see anything wild, but I will say this. I think it's going to be a super spreader event, and that's just absolutely just scary.
Oh, you mean like the Deer Park over there with the Milwaukee Bucks? Because that's the first thing I thought of. 65,000 people standing outside that stadium. I'm like, wow, super spreader, bro.
I was watching that game and my wife was, you know, on her phone doing her little Instagram thing and whatever, whatnot. And then she looks up and she sees the crowd And she's like, oh, wow, that's going to be a super spreader event. There's going to be so, and understand my wife's in the medical field. She's like, oh, yeah, there are going to be so many variants of COVID from that. Like, it's going to be like a science experiment. And I was just like, man, this is how medical people think in today's age where, you know, you have an event, maskless event, thousands of people there. She's like, the rate of COVID infections is going to be super high.
Yeah. And, well, she lives it.
Yeah.
She lives it. So that's the way she has to look at it, unfortunately. So that segues perfectly into what we got to ask you. What'd you think of what the NFL did? Part one, part two, what are going to be the ramifications in a locker room from this? We already saw DeAndre Hopkins say, oh, I'm going to decide. Maybe I'm thinking about retiring, which doesn't make any sense.
Or whatever. Right, yeah. Cool. Yeah, sure. I'm a little bothered about, one, the NFL and the NFLPA's approach to this whole thing, to the point where they think that testing on a daily basis, whether vaccinated or not, is not necessary. And we've shown and highlighted and understand that vaccinated people are still coming down with COVID, testing positive for COVID, carrying COVID. And so what makes you think that the unvaccinated people are the people who have to be tested every day? Everybody has to be tested every day. And that's a little disappointing. Then let's just say that, you know, let's say somebody does test positive. Let's say somebody does test positive. You should have a policy where if somebody in your facility does test positive, everybody should have to take a COVID test the next day, just so that we're clear on what the level of infection is, what you know, and I don't. That's not policy right now, and it should be policy. And I think that the NFL is taking a very lax approach for a league, which was the first sports league to get through their season with COVID as is, without making any significant changes. And mind you, they had to reschedule games. Mind you, there was a full month in the NFL where teams could literally only enter their building to practice. That was it. Every day for 2 hours, they got to practice. Otherwise, go home. We doing this via Zoom, like, you know, and it's a little troubling that they're taking this lax approach to it. And I'm not necessarily certain how it's going to turn out, because literally it looks like all they're going to do is, when things go wrong, is say, oh, it was unvaccinated version. And that's not the case. Like in the NBA, Chris Paul was a vaccinated guy, tested positive. You know, you got kids who go to school, they're gonna come home with COVID. You're gonna have COVID. And it's what vaccinated people, yes, the illness is not going to get as bad as it possibly could if you weren't vaccinated. This is what I'm learning from my wife. But
By the way, the stats are 97% of the hospitalizations and 99% of the deaths are unvaccinated.
Okay. Unvaccinated, yes. But vaccinated,
I think that's why they're not going after the vaccinated, because the vaccinated have a much smaller chance of getting it, a much smaller chance
for hardcore sickness,
if you took Johnson & Johnson, you might be a little bit more at risk, apparently. So that, I don't know about that one, but if you took I think Pfizer and Moderna, you're really, really strong. And you took both shots, you're really covered. The Johnson & Johnson one is the one that's kind of being questioned now.
But it doesn't mean that you're protected. Doesn't mean that you're not going to get sick. Doesn't mean that you can't become a super spreader. It means none of that. And I know this firsthand. I thought I had COVID a week ago. Like, and I'm vaccinated. And luckily I tested a negative. But yeah, I had a cold, flu symptoms that knocked me out for a week, if not 10 days. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the NFL does. But it ultimately, you can follow the NFL. The NFL has one agenda, and that's money. That
they proved that last year.
just follow the money, and you'll figure out what their agenda is. But it just doesn't make any sense why they're not requiring one daily COVID test. Even for the vaccinated, and two, that why it's not policy that if somebody does test positive in the facility, that it's widespread, everyone has to test for the next 48 hours. just so we know.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there. Now, are you expecting any division in the locker room? Do you have to do the Dolphins? Because apparently they have a high vaccination rate as it is. Yeah. So that's actually, I'm really happy as a Dolphins fan that they've done that. But is there a Cole Beasley? Is there a Deshaun Watson in the locker?
There is. Mac Hollins is. And a non-believer in a vaccine. And players have gotten on him, kidded him. You know, but in a friendly way, as guys do there, you know, I had an agent say to me, and this is just the edge. And that agent was absolutely right. Literally for those who will not get vaccinated. The agent was like, literally they'll put any woman's snatch from the club in their mouth, but will not take a vaccine.
That's a great line.
And I it didn't like connect to me. Literally you're talking about fear and worry about taking a vaccine when, you know, God knows what you put in your mouth over the course of a month. Like, come on, man. And I understand fear and concern about it, because I have fear and concern about the vaccine.
We all do.
Yeah, but you know, are we all going to have horns? You know, what's going to do to our respiratory system? I mean, yeah. But here's the thing: COVID isn't going away. We've learned with this vaccine, you're still, even if you're vaccinated, you're still going to get it. You're still going to catch it.
By the way, let me give you something that I told everybody earlier before you came on. You know, everybody gets the flu shot, right?
Yeah,
a lot of people.
That's what it is.
30% of all flu vaccines have adverse reactions. 51 die a year on average of that, 232 life-threatening events. This is in 1 year this happened with the CDC. 232 life-threatening events, 116 permanent disabilities, 739 hospitalizations, 109 prolonged hospitalizations, 4,039 ER visits, and 6,221 not serious. That all happened in 1 year for a flu shot. This happens every year because there's no such thing as the perfect vaccine. There's no such thing as a 100% vaccine. And every vaccine in the history of time, whether you were taking it for polio or the measles or the flu or COVID, somebody's going to get some adverse. People die from taking aspirin, bro.
Yeah.
People die from taking aspirin.
Yeah.
Seriously. Okay. The people, old people like me that take the little baby aspirin, 3,000 people a year die from that. Okay.
By the way, how many baby aspirins you take a day? One or two?
Just one. Okay. One.
I got to get you.
You want to speed up my death? Is that what you're trying to do now? Come on, bro.
I'm just asking for myself. I've got to take care of my heart too, big old.
Oh, you're taking that too? Oh, see, there's a risk. And I want to remind you, vending machines kill 13 people a year. So be careful when you want to get that baby Ruth. I'm just saying, dude. Just saying.
Who eats baby Ruth, big O? Who eats baby Ruth?
Kit Kat, whatever, M&M's, that disgusting sandwich that you see in that machine, whatever it is, that egg salad, like that agent told you, you put anything else in your mouth, but you won't take the vaccine. You're going to eat that egg salad sandwich from the damn vending machine, and you won't take the COVID shot. Come on.
I don't know if anybody eating that egg salad, that sandwich.
Oh, there's some disgusting people that will eat that egg salad. I'm telling you, bro. I'm telling you, man. All right, so let's Shaquille Griffin. Let's get into that. I know he's like a special teams linebacker, mostly is probably what it is. Is this kind of an extra body for camp if they're interested at all in him? Talk to us.
Pass rusher, and I think that it would definitely benefit them to add an extra pass rusher, extra camp body, linebacker, special teams. It just makes sense, especially with I would say if there was a need in my mind in terms of this team adding a player, I see running back and outside linebacker as still areas that they have to or should address or add a body to. Right now, I think every other area on this team is pretty deep and pretty. And quarterback, I would look to add another quarterback. I'm not real comfortable with what I see there from the third guy. But it's, you know, camp body. And this is the week, this is the time where they start to look at their roster and say, hey, we could add another offensive tackle, which they did. We could add another pass rusher, which they did. Take a look at some of the running backs and say, because I can look at their run roster right now, and depth-wise, from a running back standpoint, I'm not comfortable. I think they're one short of where they need to be just to make it through training camp.
Wow. So the question I have,
they probably look at Malcolm Perry as a running back too, kind of still. So I, you know, and Lynn Bowden Jr. So it's, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
All right. So the question I have to ask as a follow up, Melvin Ingram, he ends up signing with the Ravens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Steelers.
Was it Seattle.
Steelers. And clearly he fits what they do.
Absolutely.
And he fits what Miami was also doing too.
Yeah.
What did you hear, Omar? What was it? Were they concerned about the injury? They weren't willing to go far enough in the money. Was he asking for too much money? Well, what do you hear? It doesn't sound like he signed a lucrative deal at all with Pittsburgh either.
I'm curious to see what that deal was, but I mean, a player of his stature is trying to compete for a championship, and Pittsburgh is still in the realm of conversation championship contender.
I'm not buying Big Ben, bro. That he's done.
Bro, their bad seasons are 8-8. Come on, man.
No, but I think Big Ben is done. That's my point.
Maybe.
I'm with you on the team. I don't have a. Remember, they lost all their great pass rushers last year.
They rebuilt their whole line.
That killed their defense last year into, you know, going at the end of the season. So they're getting all their guys back now. So they should be good. I'm with you on there. I just think Big Ben is actually the weak link now. That if they actually had a good quarterback, then yeah, I'm with you that they're a 10-win team or something like that. But I think Big Ben, dude. I'm sorry. I think Father Time caught up to the dude. I really do.
It's possible. We'll see this year. I mean, the end of the season, it was just they couldn't run the ball. They couldn't protect. So it's kind of hard to sit there and evaluate him based on what you saw offensively. But let's not pretend like they weren't the last undefeated team in the NFL this year. And they just the bottom fell out on them from an injury standpoint. So
Yeah. I'm with you. Plus, he also looked old. He and Drew Brees. Yeah.
Dude, they're 18-year-old quarterback, 18-year veterans.
Not only that, Big Ben did something Drew Brees didn't. Big Ben took a beating over the years because he kept hanging on to the ball. You know, he's trying to make a play. I get all of that. But he took more hits than the average quarterback.
Yeah, but he also sat out a year of football the year before last. Can we sit here and say that Big Ben's arm is dead like Drew Brees? Because we saw Drew Brees' arm was dead. It was done. There was nothing left in it. I don't think we can say that. We can't say that Big Ben looks like Cam Newton. We can't say that. Now, maybe we get to the midseason this year and are able to say that. But, you know, we got to be patient and let the process play itself out. Man took a pay cut to continue to play, so props to him, and we'll see where they are as a team. But in far as Melvin Ingram, I just look at it as he looked at it as, you know, Melvin Ingram wasn't going to come here and be gifted a starting spot. That wasn't the reality. Rotational player. Whereas in Pittsburgh, he'll probably have to earn it, but it's sitting right there for him for the taking.
That's I'm interested to see. I'm with you. I want to see what that contract was because I think of a Van Ginkle and it's like, man, I would love to have him around Melvin Ingram all the time, picking his brain because they're kind of, you know, pass rushing wise, he has to do kind of the same things Ingram does in order to get to the quarterback.
True. But I'm saying,
technique wise, he could have learned something from
absolutely
that.
No question. You know, all of them, not just Van Ginkle, Melvin Ingram. Jalen Phillips. Even Emmanuel Ogba. I don't think there's anybody with polished pass rushing moves on this roster right now, which is why I was totally in support of Melvin Ingram. I think the Olivier Vernon situation could be something that we monitor, probably not before the season starts, but maybe around midseason. OV wants to continue playing. I think he's rehabbing an Achilles injury. Maybe he's ready to go around midseason. He suffered the injury, and I believe it was January in their playoff game or the game before their playoff game. So Ovi just got married. He settled here. He married a Marley, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. Ovi married a Marley.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yes. I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah.
How about him?
So, you know, he's local. He's not going anywhere. And if they have a need, I think that that's a breaking case of emergency situation. But even, you know, Van Ginkle, even Vince Beagle, I don't like when people ignore Vince Beagle in terms of like, oh, he's an afterthought. Vince Beagle was better than Andrew Van Ginkle at once upon a time. So
he's no Kiko Alonso, but he's damn good.
Listen,
that was a good trade, bro. Damn, that was a good trade.
I'm gonna let it ride. Kiko was arguably the best inside linebacker since Carlos Dansby.
He might be the most overrated linebacker in the history of Dolphins history. Period. Which is repetitive, but it is God. I never bought into the dude. You know, he had a couple of good games, and he had that interception and all that stuff. And
there's nothing wrong with Kiko. He's a little weird.
Actually, that part's entertaining. The part that he's kind of like the Hispanic Spicoli at linebacker. Yeah, no, there's no doubt that I'm. You know, if they ever made a new Fast Times at Richmond High. Hispanic style, they should put Kiko in there as the lead role to be Spicoli.
Liked Kiko. I'm curious if he's still playing. I don't even know what happened to him the last couple of years, but you know, that's what happens to. I wouldn't want my child to be a linebacker or running back if my life depended on it, just because of the physical wear and tear of those positions. And you gotta have a screw loose to play either of those positions.
Yes. Yes, I'm with you. Just like returners and stuff like that, and special teams, those people are, and it's not nearly as bad now as it used to be with the wedge and breaking the wedge and all that. Oh my God, that was that was like the CTE drill of the NFL right there was the wedge. I mean, it's just one of those things that was just absolutely ugly. All right,
so football was football.
What is the most intriguing thing that you can't wait to see when training camp starts? When your life is over, while you're sitting there, that your life is over, what is it that you're looking forward to most in watching the Dolphins in the first couple of weeks?
Will they actually get a line that's respectable and be able to protect Tua and open up running lanes? I've always said and thought that's the magic formula for this team and for this franchise. I still believe in that. I know everybody, and the amount of resources that they put into it has been ridiculous, and they still haven't been able to get it done. Right now, whether it be Solomon Kinley, Jesse Davis, Liam Eichenberg, Michael Dieter or Matt Skura, they're kind of two players away, and you got to get it right. You got to get it right. Otherwise you're net. And I'm excited to see when pads come on is my favorite time. When pads come on and people could actually hit one another. That's my favorite time. Other than that, it's just football in pajamas.
Omar, when I was a beat guy and I would go every day, I remember years ago, that the Dolphins sucked running the ball, right? And then there was this one year where, you know, I go to camp and Jamie Nails and the boys are killing it on the inside drill, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I went on the radio and I started saying the Dolphins will be able to run the ball this year, guaranteed, the way they're playing. Jamie came in, he was in shape, he was pulling, it was like you saw it. But they ran the inside drill every day in camp.
Yeah.
So my point is, that's my problem with it. Do you really get to assess it until we get to actual games? Because I had the pleasure of two-a-days. I had the pleasure of inside drills every morning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you got a great feel for what was going on. And when one side dominated the inside drill, that shit sat on the practice field the entire day. And the next day there was revenge to be had. You know what I mean?
And then if they had revenge that day, there was a fight the next day.
Exactly. Those are the ways that I got to see whether the Dolphins were developing or the Dolphins weren't developing. And then I could tell on the air, hey, no, I see this, I see that. It seems like you don't really have that luxury right now.
Because there are times, and it depends on how physical they want to be in practice. And people have to understand, Brian Flores has advocated. He wants to be a run first team.
Of course.
That's on his agenda to-do list. They put a tremendous amount of resources into it. They've just failed at it. He's on his fourth offensive line coach in 3 years. I'm curious to see if they can get that together. But he's committed plays and series. And when they weren't successful running the football, there were portions of practice that were dedicated and committed to inside run. We need to get this better, to tandem work. We need to get this better. So, and now that the co-offensive coordinator's focus is on developing and establishing a run game, I think it will be a priority. I think it will be important. The DJ Flukers of the world, that's why they're here. Okay, we can't get one of these young guys to step it up and be this mauler that we need. Okay, insert DJ Fluker into the equation. It's a breaking case of emergency situation. So I think they will be committed to being a run first team. Now, will it pan out and produce more than 3.4 yards per carry? Only God knows that.
Yeah, and you and I, he's smart because you and I know, and anybody that follows this sport long enough, if you can run first, you're going to dominate, bro. You're going to dominate. That's why you wanted Najee Harris, because you knew that if you get a dominant running game, the play, the pass game off of that becomes so much easier. And it's just it shows you how special Russell Wilson is and Aaron Rodgers, because these guys, when there is no running game, they figure it out, but they're freaking magicians. They're at another level. And I think Tua will be the crafty guy back there, but still, you don't want to put him in that position.
You don't want all that on his shoulders right away.
No, not now. No. But you know, if that's the idea, that's the attitude you should have, man. Yeah, punch people in the mouth and run the ball.
And I understand why you mentioned Najee Harris. It hurts my heart every time he's mentioned. And I do believe he's going to be a sensational player this year. Not sure he's going to have a long career in the NFL, but I think he's going to be a sensational player this year. But Myles Gaskin, his productivity per game, per his limited touches, I believe he's 16 touches, 90 yards a game. That's nothing to poo-poo. That's like top 10 in the NFL. It's We're underplaying it, and I say this. You mentioned what's the thing I'm most excited about. I will tell you, watching Preston dominate Byron Jones and watching Myles Gaskin stand out in training camp last year were my two this is different. And I'm very curious to see what Myles Gaskin can do in year three in his first training camp as the full time starter. We don't know. We don't know who he is and who he can become. Let's not act like, and people don't realize it, but the offensive line was bad last year. They weren't good. And I know everybody wants to make the excuse, they were young, they were rookies, they got to figure it out, they got to get adjusted.
That's all legitimate, Omar.
All legitimate and fair.
It's rare that a team puts out three rookies and you go dominate. I mean, and by the way, they're not three guys you picked in the top 10 of the first round. You know what I'm saying? So let's, we got to slow
our roll. Top 100, though. Top 100. Top 100 pick.
But how many people put out three top 100 rookies and then go dominate? That doesn't happen. It usually takes a little while for them to develop.
It takes a while, and I'm a patient man, Big O. I'm a patient man. But my point is, Gaskin got it done with
– Oh, yeah.
With – yeah. It was an line. It was all right.
right?
Got coach fired. Anybody who wants to sit there and say, ah, they weren't that bad. Well, they got the coach fired. Like, let's put some perspective on it.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt. And this guy, if he doesn't see what he likes, he's going to make the changes. There's no doubt about it.
And I respect that.
What are you working on the Sun Sentinel so folks can check you out prior to getting to camp?
We got a countdown to camp series that's going on right now in terms of the 10 things and issues that are going to be here on the forefront this season and during camp. I got a column coming out this weekend about what should your expectations for Tua Tagovailoa be in year two. And strongly, not to tell you what I'm writing, but, you know, we waited 4 years for Chad Henne. We gave Ryan Tannehill 7 years. Why can't Tua get 30 games?
Yeah.
Like, people are, like, expecting this guy. And part of it is I blame myself. I blame our local media. That includes you. We hyped this guy as a savior. And people were looking, okay, the savior's here. He's going to come and save us now. Like, mm-hmm. He delivered a 6-3 record. 5-3, really, because Fitzpatrick won that last that Raiders game.
Came off the bench, right. Yeah.
So let's not act like he did bad. He statistically had an on par year with Joe Burrow. Like, their numbers are right there. Yes, you know, he wasn't Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert. But let's not act like this guy's chopped liver, and give him time to heal, give him time to develop, give him time to learn how to read defenses, give him time to figure out how to throw guys open, give him time to develop chemistry with his better weapons, give this line time to play better, protect him better, open up the run game, giving offensive coordinators time to figure him out and figure out what he likes. Like, people are like, oh, if he's not good this year, we got to get another quarterback. We got to go get Aaron Rodgers. We got to go get Deshaun Watson. And while I'm all down for getting Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson, you won't hear any complaints from me. You put Aaron Rodgers on this team right now, they're Super Bowl contenders.
Right.
So, yeah, and I don't care how it happens, as long as it happens. But let's give Tua the patience and understanding that we at least gave Chad Henne. I'm not asking for Ryan Tannehill time. Let's at least give him the Chad Henne timetable.
Yeah, for sure. I'm with you. Follow him on Twitter at Omar Kelly, and make sure you subscribe to the Sun Sentinel. Support Omar and all the great journalists that work there at the South Florida Sun Sentinel.
Always coming up with a training camp special.
So it's one that's
coming your way this week.
Get that training camp special. Have a great weekend, my brother. You stay safe. We will talk to you on Monday as we get ready for football.
All right, be good.
You've been listening to the EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins Report with Omar Kelly. For additions, home remodeling, or custom work, call Eric at 305-433-4843. EJDConstruction.com is the custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843. Starting in August, longtime Miami Heat insider Ira Winderman joins the Big O Radio Show. Ira will give insight twice a week on your favorite NBA team. Heat fans, get the information you crave from one of the best in the business. From weekly appearances to breaking news, join Ira Winderman exclusively on the Big O Show. Found on most platforms.